I would like to read a word before we pray from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 13, from verse 9 to 16. Isaiah 13, from 9 to 16. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as the chased roe, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people, and flee every one into his own land. Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Up to here, this precious and true word of God. This is what God spoke through his prophet Isaiah in his days. It became so great to me that this man had such mighty things revealed to him by God, which pointed to distant times. And we can say there are some things that today have not yet come true, that are still in the future. And maybe to this became also great to me from Revelation 6, from verse 12, probably to verse 17. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Yes, we have read these two scriptures, and these two scriptures deal with almost the same subject. They speak about the same thing, and yet we see that in our days the time has come very close. But what about us, brothers and sisters? And here I would like to let Peter speak what he says about this. He says in the second epistle of Peter, in chapter 3, maybe I still read the whole chapter, but we are here to read God's word and let it dwell abundantly among us and to let it speak to us. I'm anyway a man who cannot summarize all things. I tell it like it is. But I know one thing, brothers and sisters, that the things are true, for the mouth of the Almighty God has spoken them. And I also know that no mortal can put the things and can string them together as accurately as they may come, but the Lord God will bring to pass the things which he has spoken beforehand through his prophets and through his apostles and through his saints. He will make them come true. And we are so glad that we live in this time where our eyes have been opened. Here Peter continues, 2 Peter chapter 3, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Oh, I don't know, but you could probably stop here at every verse. I don't want to do it, but things are so precious. And one could actually say, and you can see that we are living in these days, that people are saying, "Where are all the things what God has spoken? Where is his promised return?" But we, as children of God, we rejoice that things are written like this, as they are written, and that everything has to come as it comes. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Praise be to our God. These three scriptures fit together 100%. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, God's word is God's word. And then it goes on to say, you know, I wanted to read the whole chapter. These are so precious words. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
sondern dass alle zur Buße gelangen.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Ehre sowohl jetzt als auch für den Tag der Ewigkeit.
Up to here, this glorious and wonderful Word of God. I don't know. I read the Word at home, in the Old Covenant, and then in the New Covenant, and all of a sudden, it came to me that I should read 2 Peter chapter 3. It became so great to me. You can't describe it with words. But I think in this chapter, Peter says to us very much, very much. And I think it is so appropriate for our days and for us who we are now living as we are waiting for his appearing. He says to us here that we should be found of him spotless and blameless. And I think that is also our desire, dear brothers and sisters. For this purpose we have come here again today, and we see the whole world, it is in the process, we see it going into the abyss, and it will come to pass, as the scripture says, it must come, because God's word says it. Now Peter has not left us in the dark here, but he says, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. With God, time goes differently than we humans imagine. And we are grateful to God that we may live in this time, and that he has opened our eyes for his truth, for his word. And we also read the sixth seal in the seals book, what also Brother Branham says about it. We see that everything is very close at the door. Prophets may have spoken in the Old Covenant, and they have had to wait a long time. And perhaps the people would have said in their days, yes, where is it then, what you have prophesied? Where do these things happen? Have you not made a mistake? Did you not speak here from yourself? This and that? Perhaps the people would have had good reason to point there. But we may remember one thing. God has spoken, and no one can change it. He has spoken thousands of years in advance. What does it matter with Him? It is with Him like yesterday with us. Yes, praise and thanks be to His glorious name. Let us give Him glory and worship Him. Then the brothers can continue, and then Brother Frank may be able to say more about the Word. I am not able to speak much. May God help us. Also tonight is my prayer. Let us stand up and pray. From the bottom of my heart, also in this evening hour, Lord, we are not worthy to come before You, Lord, but You have redeemed us, Lord. You have purchased us, Lord. You have saved us, Lord. You have shed Your blood for us on the cross of Calvary. And so we have come again together here today to be again strengthened by You. Lord, we are waiting for Your appearing. We love Your Word, Lord. We see from Your Word, Lord, what is coming, Lord. What will come over this world, over this earth, over the people who do not believe Your Word. But Lord, Savior, we want to be ready for Your appearing. We want to be ready. Help me, O Lord. Help all Your people, Lord. Help us all who we are gathered here this evening in Your wonderful name of Jesus. Savior, do not pass us by. Let Your Holy Spirit dwell in us, Lord Jesus. May You reveal Yourself, Savior. May You descend with a power from on high, Lord. May You quicken each and every heart. Lord Jesus, we need Your quickening. We need Your Holy Spirit. We need Your divine power, Lord. We need You tonight, Lord, so urgently, Lord, that You reveal Yourself to us. We want to praise You for it and glorify Your name. Lord, pass us not by, but bless us, O God. Speak to us, Lord. You have spoken already, Lord. But Lord, You will continue to speak. I worship You. I praise Your mercy. Make us all ready, Lord. For we do not know, Lord, what will be next. But we want to be ready, Lord. And it could be that You will take us home, Lord. It could be that You take Your own home. We look up to You, Lord. And we pray You earnestly, Lord. Be merciful to us for Your holy name's sake. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can believe it. I wish all the brothers to come forward and to say what God has laid on their heart. The thought came to me that we are not here to talk about God's Word, but to let God's Word speak to us. Anyone can talk about God's Word, and it is talked about everywhere. But what matters is that God's Word can speak to us. For this purpose, it was actually given. I have to admit that I was encouraged by the prayer of Brother Schmidt to come forward, because during the time that Brother Rus was reading here, I was reading Romans 9, and there are the words that Brother Schmidt literally expressed in the prayer. Namely, in Romans 9, verse 28, "For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." What a wonderful promise that the Lord will not fulfill your word, not my word or man's word, but His Word. And His Word concerning the prophetic things is the word of prophecy. And if we go back to the same Peter, just a different chapter, there it is written, never has a prophecy gone forth by the will of man, but holy men spake from God, and no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. This term, no prophecy of the Scripture, is of any private interpretation. Many times we have heard it from the mouth of Brother Branham. He said, God is His own interpreter, and He makes things happen as He has announced them in His Word. But from the three scriptures, which we have already heard in the word of introduction, it was quite clear what God will do. And when we now read here, for He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. The people are only executing organs. They can nothing for it at all. God has determined it. And whoever He has chosen to do certain things must do them, must be an instrument in His hand. When we think of prophecy, then we could really get so lost and absorbed in it that it's just so tremendous. I also read very briefly in Isaiah 24, there the same thoughts have been expressed right from verse 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with a people, so with a priest, as with a servant, so with his master, as with a maid, so with her mistress, as with a buyer, so with a seller, as with a lender, so with a borrower, as with a taker of usury, so the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. If people had spoken it, then we could puzzle over it, how it will be. But God has spoken it, and so it will be. One could read on here, but it says in verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. It has just been spoken by the mouth of the Lord. It shall fall and not rise again. But the mouth of the Lord has spoken even more. He does not stop at this. Thus He has spoken, behold, I make all things new. And John saw a new heaven and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. And already the prophet Isaiah, through whom God has pronounced these things, in the last or second last chapter, very clearly he has said that God will make a new heaven and a new earth. God doesn't leave us without hope. He tells us the things that are to come. And then He gives His people the hope that we may carry within us. Where is it written? In chapter 65, verse 17, Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. Thanks be to God that there will one day be a state that we will no longer be able to remember the former things. Otherwise, it would be that heaven would no longer be heaven and glory would no longer be glory. There comes the time, and even it means the transition into eternity, that the new heaven and the new earth will be, and the former conditions will no longer be remembered. It will be simply everything new. Then still here in chapter 24, it says from verse 21, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So he will call all to account where they are, the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together, as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison. I already think here of Revelation 20, verse 1, that the enemy, Satan, is grabbed. And not only he is grabbed, the prophet Isaiah speaks here of the host on high. And Paul says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But at that time, God will settle accounts with everything, with the hosts on high, with the kings of the earth, here with Satan, with everything he will settle accounts, and together they will be locked up. And notice how it goes on here. It is written here how prisoners are shut up in the prison, and after many days they are to be judged. Do you see what this is about? This happens before the establishment of the millennium. But the judgment comes after the end of the millennium. Do you realize how accurately the Spirit of God spoke through the prophets? This is tremendous. This could knock down a giant standing on sound legs when he realizes in what way the Lord has spoken. And it is written here in the next verse, pardon me, even with glasses I can't see well. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. Isn't this wonderful? Not that the Lord completes then his millennial reign, then he commences it at that time. And do you know that I, for the first time tonight, come to this now, after I read this word? For I always read in Revelation 20 that the devil will be bound and cast down. But I never thought of the host in the air, of those rulers and the principalities. They will be judged and cast down together with him. And that will be a wonderful time in the millennium. But we cannot go into detail today. But how wonderful that already in the Old Testament these things were said. Then the Lord will reign as king on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem. And you know, when we think of Jerusalem, then we need to quickly read Zechariah 12. And here, in Zechariah 12, verse 6, it is written, "In that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left, and Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them." The day when all this will happen, and you all know, the Word of God always speaks prophetically of that day. And there are weeks, it's months, it's years. But the Word of God speaks of that day. And we have heard and read it in Peter's letter. One day with God is like our 1,000 years. On the day when all this happens, on that day, all this that we read here will find fulfillment before our eyes as long as we are still here. We don't have to worry. God still has everything in His hands. He is the original owner, and He will claim everything that belongs to Him. May He give us grace to stand by Him so that He could stand by us and to test us as He likes. I don't know, but maybe it's appropriate here to say that we should really pay attention to the sermons that are now going to be published. And I must honestly confess, I have translated a great deal over the years, but so much as these sermons say to me now, this has not been the case in all these years. And it is certainly led by God in such a way that He would like to speak to us once again, to bless us anew. And I don't know how you feel about it, but we have no reason to give up at this time, but every reason to persevere to the end and to go forward in faith, for we do see things being fulfilled before our eyes. And when Brother Branham said that the great things for which you are waiting, they will only happen when the persecution comes upon the bride church in the very last time phase. Things must proceed which somehow have an effect on this time, serving as a preparation. But God will, whether on Israel, whether on the nations, or on the church, God will fulfill every promise He has made. We see before our eyes that everything comes to pass as he has said. Why do we not have the same faith that God's word and God's promises given to the church and the bride in the last days will also be fulfilled? I believe it should strengthen us that we know we are not outsiders and just spectators or observers of what is happening in all the world, but that we too have a place in God's plan of salvation and can count on it with 100% certainty that God's word will be fulfilled in the bride church in exactly the same way as it is fulfilled in the peoples, in the nations, in Israel and in all the world. So God's word will also be truly fulfilled among and in his people. And on this we hold fast to. And we believe with all our hearts that God will bring all things to pass one by one. And if we look around us at this time, then we could really get scared. But the Lord says, when you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for you know that your redemption is drawing near. We can sometimes bow our heads to the dust from which we have been taken, but after we have done that, a hope is so alive in us that makes us look up in faith to him who loved us and redeemed us with his precious and holy blood, not with gold and not with silver, but with his precious blood he has redeemed us. And how it became so great to me on the weekend, he who alone was found to be worthy to take the book and to loosen the seals. For whom? For what? To whom was it revealed? To the world? No, to the bride church of the living God, the people of God in this last time. And it is those whom he has made worthy. I don't think I would be worthy to open the Bible, but one thing I know, he who has been worthy has taken my place to make me worthy, to look into his word, into his counsel. And we may remember this with all certainty. God has not left us in the dark. On the contrary, we live after the opening of the seals. We could look into it. And the thought that Brother Branham expressed, I could not at first grasp when he said, it is the book of redemption. And you have to think about what is meant by it. But slowly one understands all these things. All the redeemed, their names are written in the book, and for them the atonement was made by the blood on the cross of Calvary. And God sees us through Calvary. He sees us reconciled, redeemed, and pardoned. And he literally says he waits until the last name written in it has been called. Then the time of grace has expired, and the Lamb leaves the mediator or advocate throne and comes forth as the Lion, as the King. When you deepen yourselves into these things and enjoy them, then one becomes inwardly satisfied. Forgive this word. In the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle, but someone called me these days, and maybe I've said it here before, and he asked, Brother Frank, how are you? I said, I am like on the waves of the sea. They go very high up and down. But I still feel like I'm in a ship that can't sink, where the Lord is the captain. And may the waves be as high as a house and go down again. If you are in the ship, it's not quite so bad. And if he is the captain, then we can be sure that we end up there in the harbor of rest. What a grace! What wonderful words of God have we have heard today! How should we thank the Lord? And please forgive me, I also would like to point out, when we pray, let us really just say very briefly what is burning in our heart, and then the next, and the next, and the next. After all, it's a prayer meeting. And then, like a fire ember, one coal will join the other, and a little wind from above will give fire to these coals, and then God will bless. May be with all of us. Amen.